as we enter into this time of the sermon, I sometimes don't want to flip a switch and say, oh, well, singing's over or worship time's over. No, this is still time of worship. And I want us to continue to be in the Spirit this morning because I've got, I'm starting a sermon series called Hot Topics. And it's called Hot Topics because it's this thing I like to talk about once in a while that a lot of times we don't like to talk about things in church, right? Because church is one of those places where you're really not supposed to speak about things that may be controversial. Or church is supposed to be a place where you're really not supposed to talk about things that, may other people have a different opinion on. Well, guess what? The Bible is full of hot topics. Full of hot topics. And so current events, things that are going through, even right now, we're going to talk about things that were even in the news that we're talking about, of course, understanding what we're going through in our world and our society. But today I want to talk about the sermon title. It's called It's Not Sin for Me. Now, part of this Hot Topic series is really going to be pushing, and I am looking for pushback because I really want to talk about things that are really relevant to our lives, everyday lives, when it comes to our interaction with God's Word, our interaction with Christianity, our interaction with the world as we know it, and our society as we know it. And so I love to open the conversation. And so it's unfortunate for you, and maybe there's no real rules against it, but that I'm the only one talking in the room. It's probably better because it'd be a little chaotic if we started having everybody talk. But it's like, I want to make sure this is conversational. And so when we talk about certain hot topics, you may not agree with something I would say or something, and I'm welcoming that conversation. I do. I'm welcoming the ideas and some maybe, because some of you, I love how some of you, in love, of course, and not in criticism and critical criticism, but in love, somebody comes to me once in a while and says, hey, Pastor, you ever think about this angle of what you were talking about? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I wish I would have said that from the stage. So I always welcome that type of interaction because it's so important. Because I'm not going to sit here and say that I know everything about everything because I promise you I don't. And so we want to stay close to God's Word today. And so what I want to do is talk about sin first and foremost. What is sin? Sin is this willful disobedience of a known law of God, right? That's kind of your Webster's dictionary version, but sin is a willful disobedience of a known law of God. And so when we understand what sin is, it's willful disobedience. Now, we can break this up into two different parts. We've done this before where you have natural sin and willful sin, right? So maybe two different kinds of sin or very natures of sin. The natural sin part is when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Eve bit the apple and Adam joined her and sin entered the world. Right? That's natural sin. That's the type of sin that that takes place in our lives where no one teaches us how to be bad. That's just natural. Right? We're all a bunch of jerks. Myself included. Right? We're all a bunch of heathens. We're all a bunch of boneheads, whatever word you want to call us. That's natural sin. Because our inherent nature is to be a bad person. That's who we are. You just don't teach your children to fight, right? You don't teach your children to talk back. That's who they are. So that's that natural sin. But then there's willful sin. The willful sin is taking that natural sin and just kind of giving birth to something a little bit bigger. Taking that natural inclination to sin and willfully disobeying God or willfully disobeying the Word. And that's natural sin, or that's willful sin. And willful sin, we don't need to go through the whole list of willful sins, but you get what I'm saying is that you know that it takes effort to murder somebody. I mean, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. You're just like not, you don't wake up and say, oh, I'm going to kill somebody. No, that willful sin takes effort. It takes disobedience. It takes that aspect of sin in your life that says, you know what? I'm just going to do this today. I'm just going to do it. Now, I use murder as an example, but it could be any sin that we deal with. And so when we think of that willful sin, that sin that that we're into, that we do on purpose, there's hope. There's hope for both sin, because Jesus Christ came and he died and he bore that sin upon his shoulders. He was the ultimate sacrifice for us. And you see, whether it's natural sin or willful sin, they're all forgiven by the blood of Christ. But there is something that we can choose to not do, is that willful sin. We can have the choice not to wake up and want to and murder somebody. We have that choice. And so when we think about sin, I want to kind of give us, I wanted to give this quick overview of really what sin is, but I want to try to explain it a little bit better, is that we take a pencil, let's say, we all like to draw lines. We like to draw lines where we say, here's the line, this is sin, this is not sin. You know, we like to take the pencil and draw a line and say, don't cross that line. Because over here, it's sin. But don't cross the, or over here, it's not sin. Don't cross this line, because that's sin. So we like to draw lines, don't we? Especially as Christians. Christians love to draw lines. Draw lines of judgment, and draw lines of this is the line you shall not cross. Different denominations, right? Think of different denominations that draw different types of lines. Some of those lines you can identify, and some of you maybe not even realize what different lines people shouldn't cross. If you're a part of a denomination, you don't cross the line into sin. You see, God draws lines as well. God draws lines. We as Christians love to draw lines. We as churches and denominations love to draw lines, but God draws lines. You see, God draws lines because he loves us. God draws lines because these are the boundaries set forth in the Bible for us to not sin. You see, sin is God's boundary line. Sin is understanding where God's boundary line is. These boundaries are for our help. And so when God calls something sin, it's for us to realize, it's for us to understand, it's for our own purpose and for our sake. When God draws a line and says, don't do this, it's for our sake, not for his. A lot of times when we talk to a non-Christian, you say, well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. Well, what is the first thing they do? Like, oh, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do or what not to do. Nobody's going to condemn me for my sin. But I kind of want to talk about a couple of different things and a couple of ideas this morning. And again, they're hot topics because this is going to be a little bit sketchy for some. I want to talk about a line that God puts. It's a solid line, like at the picture right there. It's a solid line, and God himself says, don't cross this line, because if you cross this line, it's sin. You see, this is sin for all. This is a sin for all people. It's a solid line. You can't cross it. God said it. Don't do it. These are the indisputable lines of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. If you'd like to turn there, that you're welcome to. If you'd like to take a look at the screen in front of you, you're welcome to as well. This is a line, that one of the lines that I found in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty solid line that God's drawing here, right? He's saying, here's the line, don't cross it. He gives a great illustration. Of course, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, but God's word, understanding that this is the line that we're not crossing. He gives a great list. They will not inherit the kingdom of God, period. This is sin. So this is where God's drawing a solid line. It's not debatable. There's things that they're not debatable. it's indisputable. God draws a line and says, don't cross the line. And all throughout Scripture, you see God drawing lines. God draws lines and says, just don't, you're not to do this, you're not to do this. And they're pretty obvious lines, indisputable lines. You know, sexual fornication, we call it that, right? That's a churchy word, basically saying sex outside of marriage. Marriage is God's design. One man, one woman. God said, don't have sex outside of marriage. There's a line. And so what we say, what we look at and say, okay, so if you're having sex outside of marriage, it's sin. And when we read passages of Scripture like this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Heaven. So you're not going to heaven. According to this passage, really? Yeah. So there's the line, right? The sexual immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, or slanderers. Slanderers, what's slander? You talk bad about somebody? I mean, you're always negative, Nancy. Sorry, Nancy. I don't think we have a Nancy in here. I'm not calling you out. You know, you're constantly complaining and slandering somebody. Did you know that this person did this? Did you know that? Really, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's called sin. It's called sin. And so sexual fornication, sex outside of marriage, you get the idea. God's drawing lines here. We can't cross them. They're just indisputable. In the 1960s, I just threw this in there for fun. I like statistics, but we don't have time for a lot of my statistics. In the 1960s, there were two commonly known sexually transmitted diseases. Now there's 25. I mean, there you go. People are crossing lines, I think. They're crossing lines. You see, understanding that these are the lines that God says, you know what? This is sin, and sin will be punished. Now, before you get all antsy with me and looking at me like, wow, you're really putting the fire and brimstone today. I mean, we know as Christians, and some of you who may not be Christians, those of you listening online this morning, there's hope in Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't leave Jesus out of a hellfire brimstone message. You can't leave Jesus' salvation. And the actual fact that God, he makes lines that are indisputable lines. You shall not cross those because it's sin. You will not inherit the kingdom of God unless there's a sacrifice made for you. And that sacrifice was made for you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there's no condemnation in those who love and understand Jesus and have actually accepted him and his forgiveness of sin. But nonetheless, there's a line that God draws. And we can't cross those lines without Jesus Christ. We can't cross those lines, otherwise it's sin. Next, I want to talk about disputable lines. Disputable lines. See, this is sin for some. This is sin for some. So you're thinking, Pastor Jim, I thought this was a hot topic scripture. You haven't said anything that we don't agree with, blah, blah, blah. This isn't really crazy, but here we go. Disputable lines. This is sin for some. And when I say that, I mean like it's like a dotted line. It's like a dotted line. It's not a solid line like you. If you cross over, you're in sin. This is a dotted line. God kind of puts dotted lines throughout Scripture. And this is one of those where it's sin for some, but not for all. Sin for some, not for all. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, let's go to verse, what do we have up there? 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. You see, in this passage, another translation says, you say everything is allowable, but everything is not beneficial. I will not be mastered by anything. And so when you think of this passage of Scripture, Paul's describing things like, yeah, it's everything, you know, we can do some things in life, but it may not be beneficial. Like, I always pick on this one because it's fun, but you can sit at a Chinese buffet and indulge, right? I mean, you can hang out all day at a Chinese buffet and still, like, pay one price, and you can eat as much as you want. I'm telling you what, just because I said that makes us all hungry, isn't it? I know. I'm telling you, I could rock a Chinese buffet. What I'm trying to say is that this buffet word, this thing called buffets that we Americans like, I mean, in other countries, they don't even know what that's like. So my point being is that when we sit down at a Chinese buffet or any kind of buffet, I mean, all things are possible. I mean, we can partake in that. Everything is allowable. It's lawful. I mean, God doesn't look down upon us for eating a Chinese buffet, but it's not helpful for your body. It's not helpful for your waistline. It's not helpful to consume all of those calories, the sodium, all of the other garbage they put in that kind of stuff that tastes so amazing, right? I mean, it's like everything is allowable, but not everything is beneficial. Everything, all things are lawful, meaning it's not wrong. God's law does not say do not eat a Chinese buffet, but you also have to realize that there's gluttony there, and there's that dotted line of it's sin for some, but it's not sin for me. Alcohol is one of those issues. I mean, the whole alcohol thing, here's a hot topic for you. The drinking of alcohol is a issue of a dotted line. You see, drinking and partaking of alcohol is sin for some, but not for all. Now, some of you old school, maybe more conservative, have grown up in a different tradition, are saying, I can't believe our pastor just said that. Like there's people, I mean, I'm telling you, from the Wesleyan denomination, has stood up and said alcohol, the consumption of alcohol, is pure, 100% evil, and should not be a drop partaken in the Christian's life, period. So what do? They took the pencil and they drew a solid line and said, sinner, if you are a partaker in alcohol. That's sin. You see, that's not biblical. that's not the Bible's view on alcohol, is it? Somebody correct me. Somebody prove me wrong. Please, I'd love to sit down and prove me wrong. If the Bible says total abstinence is the only Christian way to go. Hot topics, right? Now I hit a button. Look at you all. Oh, he's talking about my beer now. They're talking about my glass of wine. I better straighten up and listen. Hot topic. Brad's praying for me over there. He is. Because Brad and I, we talk about this, and we've designed this sermon series long before Brad was out of here. What's he going to say about my beer? Cut the grass and work hard in the yard, and a nice cold beer is so nice afterwards. What's Pastor going to say about it? You see, it's like a dotted line. It's sin for some, and it's not sin for everything, for everyone. You see, let me explain. There's things in our lives that we, in scripturally, the Bible, in fact, the Bible talks about how Paul talks about taking a little wine for the stomach, right? I mean, how we, every non-Christian talks to me about this. Well, Jesus drank wine. Right? You all heard that one before. Well, Jesus drank wine, so should I. You see, you have to understand that it's sin for some people. Drinking alcohol is sinful to some. Like if you're dealing with struggling with alcohol, addictions, if you are dealing with addictions in your life and food is your addiction, you can't go to a buffet, people, because that's sinful. If you are completely enamored and mastered by tobacco and nicotine, that could be sin for you. But if you smoke cigarettes, and is it sin? May not be sin. See, the Bible is clear. It talks about don't be mastered by anything. Now let's talk about the Christian drug of choice. What's the Christian drug of choice? Somebody just throw it out there. Caffeine. Oh, yeah, food. Sugar. Money. Woo. So it's everything is permissible. Is sugar awesome? Oh, yeah, sugar's awesome. Is money great? Sure, we like money. Is caffeine fantastic? Caffeine's fantastic. But if you're mastered by it, Paul's like, don't be mastered by anything. If you get the jitters because you don't have your morning coffee, now here's some, put your toes out, everybody, because here I am stepping on it. If you have a headache, if you have jitters, and if you can't function without caffeine, I'm sorry, that could be you're mastered by that drug. And it could be sin for you. It could be sin for you. I didn't say it is sin. I'm saying it could be. Do I like coffee? Do I like caffeine? Do I like a Mountain Dew once in a while? Absolutely, I like caffeine. But am I mastered by it? Absolutely not. I'm here to tell you that I do not need a cup of coffee every day. That in fact, if I feel that need and that desire that I need it every day, I quit. I'm done. I stop. I need to take a break. See, it's sin for some, but not sin for others. And so we think of these ideas that we do extra biblical stuff. We throw our extra biblical. That's when somebody says, well, alcohol, total abstinence of alcohol is what the Bible says. No, that's additional. That's what you say. So we've got to be careful to exegete Scripture, pull out from what Scripture says on the topic, and through prayer and understanding. Let's read Scripture right now before I get too far. I don't want to talk too much about what I have to say. Let's read Scripture for what it has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we will not have this on the screen, but if you want to read it or write it down for later, that'd be great. This is where, let me just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no true God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, lowercase g, and many lords, lowercase l, verse 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through him, through whom all things came, through whom we live. Verse 7. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, or no better if we do. Verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all of your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? Verse 11. So this weak brother or sister from whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother and sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause them to fall. Wow, that's pretty wise. This is a fantastic wisdom piece right here. You see, so we're talking about, what Paul's talking about is food sacrifice to idols. The thing was, is you have a fatted calf or a bull, a nice piece of prime rib. And people are saying, wait a minute, why would you waste that kind of good choice food that's just been sacrificed on an altar just to a unknown God, capital or lowercase g? And I don't want to go too far off in this, but today I want to understand that what Paul was saying is that, is it sin to eat food sacrificed to idols? He's simply saying it is sin for some, but not for everybody. He's simply saying if in your own conscience, I love how he wrote this. Read this for yourself. Please write this down. He's like, not only are we talk about food sacrificed to idols, and then he like kind of parenthetically says, we all know there's no really idols. Otherwise, if we said there's idols, we'd be acknowledging that there's actually something called other gods. Paul says there's only one God, monotheism. And so he's kind of saying, you silly people. You silly people, you think of all your other gods, but I'm believing in one God. But for the sake of argument, let's pretend that you're eating food sacrificed to this made-up God. I don't want to get too far in the weeds here today. But Paul says, be careful, verse 9, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. So, do we have the right to eat a prime rib that is sacrificed to Satan? Absolutely. If that offends somebody, that I'm constantly going to the temple, the satanic temple, and waiting in line for the fresh prime rib, if that offends somebody, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore because I don't want you to fall down a path of sin. And so let's get rid of the prime rib because I'm hungry. Let's talk about alcohol again. Let's bring that topic up. So if you say, I have a right, biblical right as a Christian to partake in a beer or a glass of wine or in the privacy of my own home, we're thinking, but you say you take that right into the restaurant. We go over here to Cadillac somewhere and you're just partaking and you're just drinking away. Well, you're using your right to say if someone is watching you, you could be causing a weaker person in the faith to stumble by looking at you and saying, oh, wow, they're just pounding one back. Do you see what Paul is saying here? Do you kind of feel, hopefully you feel the heart here? What I'm saying is that as your pastor, I'm not going to sit there and go to the local bar, local watering hole, and just pound them back. Do I have the right to do that? Sure, I have the right to drink a beer. The Bible talks about not being drunk. Not being a drunkard. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if I have one beer, I will not get drunk, but I won't use my right, my scriptural biblical right as a Christian. I won't use that right because I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. I don't want to cause the person struggling in alcoholism. I don't want to cause the person that has just a horrible, horrible, bad issue with that. And so I relieve my right. And so when verse 13, I love what Paul says. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again. So I don't cause them to fall. So what does that place the onus on? He's basically saying, it's my responsibility as a Christian not to make somebody else fall into sin. So going back, it's the dotted line. These are those disputable lines that it's sin for some, but not for others. What do we like to do as judgmental, like legalistic Christians? We like to say, here's the line, don't cross it. And so therefore, we put the extra biblical aspect into it, and it's like, let's let Scripture speak, and yet let's let our lives speak out loud. But for the sake of this argument today and hot topics, we're talking about God says, here's some lines that you can't cross. It's sin. There's another set of lines that's that dotted line that they're disputable. Those are the ones where, like, can you have a beer? Can you have not a beer? Are you a Christian if you have a glass of wine here and there? And I just explained it. But then there's a third line. There's a third line that's called, I like to call discernible lines. This could lead me into sin. This could lead me into sin. This is that boundary. This is the boundary or a box, right? A pencil that is drawing a box. And so in the box, this is that discernible line. In the box is this protective zone that God puts for us. And says, when you're in the box, when you remain in here, I'm not sure if I can get up here this high with my pointer, but if you remain in here, in this portion of the box, this is kind of God's protection zone for you. But anywhere outside of this box, good luck, you're on your own. Now, these are the discernible lines. This could lead me to sin. Like, if I get out of that box, it could lead us to disobedience. That willful sin. Let me give you some examples. Some examples are like movie ratings. Movie ratings, right? These are those where, as a Christian, the argument is from no TV in the house to, hey, I'll watch whatever's on. So we're from here to here. And I tell you what, when we were early on in our marriage and our family, we got rid of TV. I mean, completely. We were one of those weird families that my kids never grew up with TV, and they're horrible. It's awful. I know, child abuse, right? You imagine? And so we got rid of TV when they were in those early formative years. We're just, as a family, we just said, this is one of those that could lead us to sin. And we just decided. I mean, make fun of us, call us weird homeschoolers or something, right, you guys? I mean, all the homeschool people are like, yeah. We were like those weird homeschoolers that we just got rid of TV altogether. We just pulled the plug and got rid of it. Yeah, we love that. Love homeschool people. I'm telling you, I'm not making fun of you guys. I think homeschool is awesome. We did it for a while. And so for a while, it was those, we felt that it could have led us to sinfulness. And so obviously we're not there anymore. We decided the kids grew and we grew, and even our relationship with God, we were able to put TV back on and we got some things. Oh yeah, let's get Dish Network now. And now it's like, wow, no, Dish Network wasn't for us. We got rid of Dish Network and now we do the rabbit ear things. And so it's kind of like those discernible lines. What's the word? Discerning. Discern the Holy Spirit. Discern the Holy Spirit in your life. Is it sin for you? Ask the Holy Spirit. How about like movie ratings? We're all like no, we rated R. We don't watch rated R movies. I mean, TV MA. No, we just set a standard for our lives. Is it sin to watch TV MA, those ratings? Is it sin? It may be for you, may not be for somebody else. But you see, there's discernible lines. Am I going to pass judgment on you if you watch a TV MA series and it's got blood, guts, rape, nudity, gore? That's discernible. Please discern the Holy Spirit on that. I'm not going to pass judgment on you because it could be sin. It's sin for me. It's sin for me. I can't watch that stuff. I can't watch nudity. I don't watch nudity because guess what happens to us as men? We get it in our head and it sticks there. It stays there. And it stays there. And it stays there. And what? No. So you get rid of those things. So I stay in the box. I stay in the box. Check, check, check. Yeah, he doesn't like this topic. He doesn't like this topic because guess what? It's talking about who we are and how what we do as Christians and how we live our life in Christ. Modesty. What's modesty? Well, there's Bible talks about modesty of dress, modesty in our exuberance and our spending and, you know, being a modest person. That's the box. Stay in the box. If you go outside the box, that's discernible. How about apps? Apps on your phone? Those type of things that we all deal with, those things that are like, oh, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, that's one of those, what am I going to draw a line today? No, I'm not going to draw a line, but it could be sin for you. I don't have certain apps on my phone because guess what? It's sin for me. It's sin for me. It may not be sin for you. But those are the discernible lines that we all have to work on and that, because God loves you. He puts lines there for us. He puts boundaries in there for us. Not because he wants us to be miserable, but he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be in connection with him. And so I put a handful of self-imposed rules in my life. Some may not have rules at all in their lives. Anything goes. Anything goes. I have rules in my life. Self-imposed, because those are those discernible lines that I think this could lead me to sin. This could lead me to sin. And I want to be careful. I want to put everything in my way. Roadblock here, a roadblock there, a roadblock here, because I do not want to get led into sin. And so I ask you the question here today, as the band comes up, we'll land this plane here soon. I want to ask you the question, who is drawing your lines? Who's drawing your lines? Three different lines today. Indisputable lines. This is sin for all, right? That's God drawing the line. Disputable lines. This is sin for some. We see scriptural basis for this. This is the dotted line. And then we understand that there's this discernible lines, that things that helps in daily life for us to discern the Holy Spirit on certain things. If you have TV in your home, you're not a sinner. If you don't have TV in your home, you're not Amish, right? I know I won't offend any Amish because they're not watching online. See, I'm just saying, these are those discernible lines. And so I want to ask the question, who's drawing your lines? Are you allowing somebody else to draw the lines for you? Or are you allowing God, through his word, to draw the lines? What is sin? And so, opening up this sermon series of hot topics, I think I had you squirming a little bit. At least I saw a lot less people sleeping. But I want to encourage you in the faith. That's what we're here to do. I opened up my sermon today by saying it's a conversation. Let's have a conversation. If you're struggling in an area, let's have a conversation. Please, I would love to help. I'm struggling in areas. I want to talk to you. I could use your guidance and your help. Let's struggle together. Let's see what God has for us as Christians. Because guess what? Our goal is what? Our goal is to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus Christ so that we look just like him. So I don't know about you, but I want to come to the Father someday and him open the pearly gates, and I want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's stand together. So let's just allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you right now. Allow the Holy Spirit just to convict and help or even affirm. I mean, the Holy Spirit can affirm. Like, yeah, I've always been feeling that. That's awesome. Let the Spirit confirm right now or convict and just do some business with God right now as we take some time to just see where your lines have been drawn. Are there things that you need challenged? Maybe get an accountability group together. Guys with guys, girls with girls. Let's get an accountability group. I'm in a couple of them, really. I meet with a few guys every other week, and I meet with another group of guys that we talk, and we just say, hey, where are the lines for you? What are some of the things you're going through? Let me share you with you what I'm going with, and let's help, and let's pray with each other. That's healthy. That's what we're supposed to do. And so today I want to encourage you to take that next step into holiness, into righteousness, and to say, I want to be done with the sin that entangles me so much. So let's pray together. I'm going to give you a moment just to make those commitments to God. Maybe it's that next step where God's just been putting on your heart, boy, I really needed to talk to somebody about this. Or I really need to get into a group with some guys and discuss this, or some ladies and discuss this. So let's let the Holy Spirit speak. I'll stop.